to another episode of We the People Radio on St. Paddy's Day. You'll figure out it's St. Paddy's Day when you hear the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wonder why all the people are wearing green. Hey, you got a green microphone. How about that?
I know. Huh. It goes with my shamrock shirt.
Oh, yeah.
My Aaron Girl bra pin that I've been wearing since I was a small child.
Yeah.
It looks like it, too. It's kind of haggard. It only gets worn once a year, but after 60-something years.
Wow.
Yeah. 60. Well, I don't know. I started going to school when I was, what, 5? Went to kindergarten in a basement. Huh.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't go in a basement.
Random thoughts. So, happy St. Paddy's Day. So, from Aaron Ryan over to Bill Cundiff, what do you got for us, Bill?
Well, you know, Aaron, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Right now, you can get a great deal on a John Deere tractor, an implement, mower, and they got a good selection of electric mowers now. You know, California says you got to run them, so run down and get one from Pape Machinery. They've got them in stock and ready to go. Batteries are even charged up. You just get on it and go. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or get them on the web at papemachinery.com. And there you have it.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
And that's
so
fun.
What do we got today, Aaron?
Well, you know, we thought we'd contrast the Irish music, the jokes, and the, you know, the happiness of the Irish. And, you know, if you're not Irish, today's the day. Everybody gets to be Irish today. It's,
that's right.
It's kind of like going to Hawaii.
I'm
going to
go home and have myself a shillelagh.
Oh. Careful, I don't crack you with one before we get there.
Oh, sorry about that.
And for all those of you who don't have any Irish relatives, all the Irish have relatives that you could have, so...
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
So that's always available. That's part of the plan. We've always got extra whiskey and extra relatives. We'll pick out the best ones for you, though, you know, so you just let us choose. Oh, my God. So I was really excited because, well, I was sick all week, so I wasn't excited about that, but I was excited we were talking to Claire Lopez and Dr. Lauver back here today because I said to myself, self, this would be a really good week to have some experts on. Wouldn't that be a good idea? And I could just sit here and use my nebulizer and yuck it up.
Yuck it up.
In my shamrock sweatshirt.
This is going to be a tough 2 hours, but we'll get through it.
Sorry, Lyle. So Claire and Lyle have done bunches of shows with us over the years, many years, as a matter of fact. And so we'll start with Claire. Claire, since I got a new bio for her, she's ever morphing and changing, and I don't like to misquote her morphing and changing. She is the founder and president of Lopez Liberty LLC. What a great name. With a mission to alert Americans to national security threats, both international and from Islamic movement and Muslim Brotherhood. And, oh, imagine, they're Marxist collaborators in this country. I just want you to know I attended a meeting in the United States where they must have used the word collaborator, I don't know, 45 times.
Wow.
All I could do not to just stand up and start screaming. So, all of you out there, I want you to take the word collaborator and wash your mouth out with soap if you're using it.
That and comrade kind of get me.
It's the collaborator blows my mind. She supported former acting ICE director Tom Homan and Tom Trento to defend the border and the United West, and was an instructor for John. How do we say his last name? Guandano? It's not an Irish name. We could make him Oguandalo, understanding the threat. So Claire's going to tell us more about that, since I didn't check that ahead of time on the name. She's done all sorts of stuff with a million different task force. She was involved with the electromagnetic pulse project that we used to chat with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry on all the time. And if that's a new idea for you, you should check out the website and listen to some of his previous shows. That'll be hair-raising for you. We miss him a lot. She She received a BA in Communications and French from Notre Dame College of Ohio and a Master's in International Relations from the Maxwell School of Syracuse University. She completed Marine Corps Officer Candidate School in Quantico, Virginia, but she decided to decline a military commission and join the CIA. I've always meant to ask Claire, what did your parents say? Were they like, wait, what?
She couldn't tell them.
Were they excited?
She couldn't tell them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Did you even get to tell them? Did you have to pretend to be in the Marines? She's not saying. She's dropped off the line.
I don't think they ever understood anything that I wanted to do professionally. They basically... they had no concept of a career. They just thought you stay home, you go to church, you have children, and then that's it. That's your life.
Oh, and so the CIA was really a bridge too far. So working in a bank would have been, you know, hard to explain, but joining the CIA was probably just...
She told them and they said, CIA, what?
I always wanted to travel, so, you know, and
banking is so boring.
That was one of the ways I got to see the world.
Nice. Well, you were also on the Citizens Commission on Benghazi back in the day, and too bad you weren't in charge of it. We might have learned something. You're the VP of the Intelligence Summit and Career Operations Officer in CIA and all this different stuff. So in all this mess, just out of curiosity, has any of this improved, or is it all just going farther away?
You know, it's not that it has not improved. Some things have, but things have morphed and changed. And even though some of the same threats are with us that were, you know, many decades ago, be it, you know, as we talk about the red-green axis, red communism, Marxism has been with us for, you know, at least 100 years, unless you want to go all the way back to Marx. And, of course, the green, Islam, has been with us for 1,400 years. And that's not gone away, but the way that they have infiltrated our society, captured different pillars of society, as you might call them, in America, that has gotten worse. That has changed and gotten worse, in particular now with Beijing, with the Chinese Communist Party, you know, leading what I would say, the international communist movement, and that alliance together with the Green, of course, that goes back to Soviet times when the Soviets first began to muck about in the Middle East, supporting Yasser Arafat, the PLO, PFLP, and all the other, you know, Islamic terror groups there. Things have gotten worse in some ways, but we keep trying, I guess. That's the best thing we can say.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing more about all this today. I mean, you know, it's one thing to get bad news, but at least if it's factual, I think most people are all, you know, kind of okay with it a little bit. And
I think people want to know. They want to know what they're up against so that they themselves can make decisions in their own lives.
Yeah.
And take steps for themselves that are right for themselves and their families.
Yeah, what a clever
idea. And I guess that's what we try to do more than, you know, we're not just, you know, trying to scare them all to death, but rather just to alert so that they can make the decisions for themselves.
Agreed. And I think most people, that's their biggest beef, is that they feel like they're not being told the truth on an ongoing basis, and that's...
Or not being told anything, you know. Silence.
Yeah, pat you on the head. Everything's fine.
People are worried.
Don't look over here. There's nothing to see. All right, so then we better identify the other laugh in the background is our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He's the one who forwarded Claire's article earlier this week, so we will blame him for this. Whatever happens, it's Lyle's fault.
That's a good idea. It's always Lyle's fault.
I know. If I really do it, it's then no one ever blames me. I only get blamed for things I don't do. So, you know, it'll have to be something else I get blamed for. But let's see, our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki, he's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. And I've said that enough times, I can actually say that all in one breath now. Since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty, which is how we wound up chatting with him in the first place, was all the stuff about the border, because, gosh, it's been a mess for so long, we can't stop calling him. Lyle also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, governmental communities. He's the author of dozens of white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement. You know, and that's how we get Claire's stuff, typically, is through Lyle. I'm going to cut across, though, here on Lyle's thing, because he now is inspired by coming on We the People Radio to start his own program.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's just the story we're telling today. So if you go to ArizonaToday.com, and it's Arizona, the number two, the word day.com, you could follow all of his shenanigans, huh? Let's keep it green today. So you can follow Lyle's shenanigans there, and I'm sure after you're done listening to today, you'll want to do that because it's fun. Hey, Claire, we have a video on here of you doing the Claire Lopez Intel Report. Do you also do your own, do you publish your own stuff, or does it all just kind of go out through other people?
Well, I do not have my own podcast or website.
So there's no way for us to stalk
but
you.
But what I do is, you know, I publish, for example, the article that you mentioned that I'm sure we'll be talking about. I have a blog site at Newsmax, so I publish there on a regular basis. And other places, you know, regularly do interviewing with me. The American Truth Project, for one, excellent organization led by Barry Nussbaum. And the Citizens Commission on National Security, which you mentioned. Of course, the United West, led by Tom Trenchow. I was a founding member of that group way back, I think it might have been 2009, long time ago anyway. Other places to look for me, the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, where I'm an advisory board member there. What have I missed? Of course, social media. Well, everything goes out over Twitter, Facebook, and I'm also on Truth Social and Telegram.
Well, that's kind of fun. I always get your things kind of randomly. I need to pay closer attention, but I'll add those. And Newsmax, how often do you do things on there? I know a lot of people watch that.
I would like to write more often, but it turns out lately maybe around once a month or so. I need to pick that up a little bit. But this most recent one, the article that we're referring to here, was published on March 8th, so just a couple weeks ago. Are Ramadan Jihad cells already in the United States? Question mark.
Well, I think that's where I think a lot of people are concerned is with this major influx of migrants across our border, unchecked and unverified. We don't know who's coming across, and it would be, I think, foolish to assume that they're all good people and they're just coming here for opportunity. No, I think there's, I agree. I won't be surprised when we find out there's been a fair amount of organization once they get here to basically attack our country.
I'm afraid that may be accurate. You know, what caught my attention and spurred me to write this article were two recent interviews that I heard, I watched. One was with former Navy SEAL, Blackwater founder Eric Prince, and he was on the Epoch Times news outlet speaking with Roman Balmakoff there. And the second interview was with Senator Roger Marshall, Republican out of Kansas. And the two of them, what they were talking about, just they coincided and they really got my attention. Eric Prince, to start with, speaking again, Epoch Times, was talking about, in response to questions from Roman, was talking about the fact that, in his opinion at least, and it was a very informed opinion there, that he thought one of the reasons at least why the Biden administration has been so reluctant to not only not say anything, basically, but not strike back in any meaningful way against the Iranian terror proxies, especially, you know, Hezbollah, especially the terror proxies, you know, that operate in places like Iraq and former Syria. They're sometimes called the Hashdashabi, or maybe the Popular Mobilization Units. You might hear that term. But these Shiite militias that have been hitting our forces, hitting, striking, missiles, drones, rockets. Mm-hmm. But the Biden administration, you know, hits back maybe a couple weeks later against an empty warehouse or something. So Eric Prince says in this interview, well, maybe one of the reasons why is that the Iranian regime has already surged. Who knows how many, just as you were saying there, who knows how many numbers of military fighters across our wide-open border. I mean, we know that China has sent who knows how many thousands of military-age fighting men, some of them very likely among the unit called the Jungle Tigers of the People's Liberation Army. So, you know, wide-open border, why wouldn't they use that, you know, as an opportunity to get terrorists, jihadis, fighters inside our borders? What could be easier?
Yeah.
How could letting millions of people in unchecked?
How could that be a problem? We have to take a really
unchecked,
quick break.
Unvetted, and you know, transported with our taxpayer dollars on buses that are up in plane flights that are operated by either the Department of State or various and different NGOs, non-governmental organizations like Catholic Charities and Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society and others, are taxpayer dollars flown and bused all over the country.
Hold that thought, Claire. We're super tardy for our break. We've got to take a really quick break.
Oh, go ahead.
And we will be right back. Our guests are Claire Lopez, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People on St. Patty's Day 2024. And the website is wethepeopleradio.us.
I'll be marching along in the big parade on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be up to me neck in shamrocks as I march along the way. I'll swing that old shillelagh as I wave to each colleen. I'll tilt me ear the better to hear the wearing of the green.
Oh, the Kelly's from Killarney, the Murphy's from Kildare.
The Hallahans and Callahans who came from County Clare.
There'll be folks from dear old Dublin all the way to County Cork.
They'll be marching in the big parade right here in old New York.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses dying. It's you must go and I must buy.
I know, so it's not like the big parade song. That's a pretty fun song.
I was kind of hoping for a little High Kings or something there, but that's all right.
It's a classic.
Yeah, okay.
There are a lot of people who've kind of done modern versions of some of these songs. Oof.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oof.
I like the rap version.
Yeah, right. That makes perfect sense. Got a little Irish Rovers coming up later.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, they're calling us back because we had some signal errors, you know. Claire was cutting out a little bit. But there they are calling. I hear them now. So the intel report I listed is Ramadan 2024, the Islamic month of jihad. So that ought to light your hair on fire. There is, and that's linked on the webpage for people.
Good. We're together. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah, we're all together.
Well, I was reading one article, I think last week. They said they estimate, you know, you were speaking about the Chinese coming across. They estimate like 20,000 Chinese that have not really been properly vetted have been released into the country. So I got to wonder.
Has anyone been properly vetted? I mean, to say that they haven't been properly vetted is kind of like an overstatement.
I think that's why people are a little bit concerned that, you know, these people are coming across and we don't have a clue who they are or how many there are and what their intentions are. So,
You know, some very excellent reporting has been done by at least a couple of reporters. One of them, Michael Yon, Y-O-N, and the other, Todd Benzman. The information about, in particular, these thousands, I mean, literally thousands of young, fit, military-aged Chinese men comes in large part from reporting from Michael Yon, who's been down at the Darien Gap. Of course, that's the jungle area that sits between the northern part of South America. Colombia connects it to the southern part of Central America and Panama. And he's been down there many times, and he reports from there. And at one point last year, we were talking on the phone, and he's sitting in a little cafe on the Panama side, and he's watching Chinese men climbing on these, you know, the great big white buses that the American taxpayer is paying for, the NGOs, through the State Department getting funded. And he told me that the villagers in this particular little town had said they watched these Chinese men emerging from the jungle, which is a very difficult, rugged passage. People die in there. They get through, they come out on the other side, and they're relieved, and they made it, you know. And the villagers told Michael, they said, we saw them killing chickens and drinking shots of their blood.
Oh,
and
wow,
they didn't know what that was about. Michael didn't know what that was about. So he contacted a mutual friend of ours, Li Mengyan, who is a Chinese virologist named, might be familiar to you, escaped out of Hong Kong summer, fall of 2020, to blow the whistle on the SARS-CoV-2 and the Chinese biological weapons program from which it emerged. And she knew, and she said, oh, that drinking the chicken blood thing, that's the signature training ritual of the Jungle Tigers, name given to the 75th Special Operations Battalion of the Chinese People's Liberation Army.
Oops.
So they were identified as what they were. And, of course, they head straight north. And I doubt they're the ones coming through the ports of entry or even using that CBP One app on the cell phones. They probably come through the gaps between the ports of entry, which are no longer manned anymore because all the CBP agents have been called off to the ports of entry to process people.
That's frightening.
Wow.
So here's trained military males coming into the country unchecked.
Drinking chicken blood.
For what purpose?
In public.
Right.
Well, I mean, and then you think about the rest of the Chinese presence here in America. Of course, there's the embassy in Washington, D.C. There's the U.N. mission in New York City. In addition to that, there are four remaining consulates, one in New York, one in Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Plus, there are any number of what they're calling, not so secret anymore, but police stations,
right.
Not diplomatic facilities, manned by Chinese police in our country. And additionally to that, an unknown number of what they're calling special service stations. And again, not diplomatic facilities either, but manned by Chinese. So they've got all of that. Now they've got these hordes pouring in, and just last year we learned that the Chinese regime, the Chinese Communist Party, and the PLA were establishing not just a presence at the old Soviet Lourdes intel gathering site on Cuba, but entering into a joint military training program with the Cubans. So how about that for a command and control center for all the rest of them?
Well, and aren't the Chinese heavily engaged in, what is it, Panama or Nicaragua, one of those countries down there? They're pouring tons of resources and money into and using it.
You're
basically
right.
As
yeah,
an base
operations.
They're
trying to extend their so-called Belt and Road Initiative, which extends into South and Central America, Caribbean too, as well as other parts of the world, but here in the Western Hemisphere, you know, offering to finance infrastructure projects, your roads, railways, bridges, what have you, but by that way getting a foothold into that country. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
Yeah. You know, there was a time, I mean, when you look back at, like, the Cuban Missile Crisis, when we found out about that, it was nipped in the bud pretty quickly. Now we have all this foreign activity going on in the Western Hemisphere, and it's basically going unchecked. They're moving in, and we're not really too concerned about it. Is that accurate?
Well, our leadership at the moment certainly doesn't seem to be, with certain exceptions. And here I'll mention the second interview that caught my attention for the article that I wrote. And that one, again, was with Senator Roger Marshall, Republican of Kansas, who on Sunday, March the 3rd, joined Fox News' Sunday Morning Futures program with Maria Bartiromo. And on that program, he was warning about the Chinese triads. Those are criminal operations, criminal organizations operating all across America. They are not just here. They're elsewhere, transnational, organized crime syndicates, based, of course, in communist China. But Roger Marshall was talking about their presence here in the U.S., and specifically in Kansas, of course, the state he represents in the Senate. And he was talking about an explosion of human trafficking. He was talking about a proliferation that he could see in his state of massage parlors and other Chinese fronts that he sees as front groups for the Chinese Communist Party, like hair and nail salons, for example, and identified the people working there as essentially enslaved Chinese women who are brought across the border. And these things are what? They're money, they're very sophisticated money laundering operations. That's how he characterized them. Then he went on to talk about the flood of fentanyl trafficking coming across our southern border. And that, of course, too, comes straight out of China.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Are you aware or have you heard anything about the Chinese training program here in Reading, training Chinese nationals to fly jets? We have a jet center here in Reading that we have pretty much catered to the Chinese. I mean, the city's even put in a bus route to transport the Chinese back and forth to the airport. It's a big operation. There's several, I would guess, several hundred Chinese being trained out there to fly jets, and that's been going on for quite a while. Now, I'm not saying there's anything nefarious about that, but it seems a little strange.
I did not know about that, but if you or one of you might send me some information about that, I'll be glad to write about it.
Yeah,
I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
No, exactly, and I've always thought that was a little strange that we're Chinese or training the Chinese to fly jets. Why are we doing that? They don't have any instructors of their own, or,
kind of like sending Muhammad Atta to a flight training school in Florida, kind of like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we can definitely send you some information on that.
Thank you.
It makes me wonder how many operations like that are going on in this country, just kind of under the radar. You know, we're actually taking money from the Chinese to train, their military.
But look at how many of our campuses have, we have all these Confucius universities and all the shows we've done with Dr. Chen about that kind of stuff, and it's like, okay, that should be concerning.
Has anybody brought up the flight training school there in Reading, brought that up to any local representatives?
Oh, yeah.
Either at your state legislature or Congress?
I don't know on a state or federal level, but I know locally they're taking the money. I mean, they get paid a lot of money to train these folks, and the Jet Center makes, I'm sure, a lot of money training them. And
well, I think we probably shouldn't pipe off too much since we haven't actually done any research on this.
Raised up to a higher level.
Yeah. Yeah,
only local.
Yeah, we can send you what we know. I mean, I know nothing about it, to be honest with you. I know there's days we'll go to a local grocery store here on a weekend, and there's days we run into the day that all the Chinese are shopping, and it's there's a lot of Chinese out there. So
yeah, and that's fine as long as nobody's setting up base to do something odd, bad, or weird.
Well, it gets back to basically trading technology. I mean, we're trading technology with the Chinese right here.
Not even just trading, allowing them to rip us off blindly through intellectual property theft and outright technology theft, and we've been doing this for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In all industries, not just tech.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of industries that are getting taken advantage of. So
yeah, and to Aaron's point there, she was beginning to talk about our campuses, where any particular year there are in the range of 300,000 Chinese students at the undergraduate, graduate levels of our schools. And no, they're not studying underwater basket weaving.
Mm-hmm.
They are studying things like computer science and nuclear technology and physics. Serious topics, serious subjects.
And to give them credit, I mean, they're hard workers. They study hard. They learn everything they're sent here to learn. And some of them don't return. Some of them realize that, you know, life here is much different than what they've been taught in China, and they elect to stay.
Sure.
You know, but I think the vast majority of them don't. I think the vast majority.
Well, but again, I mean, it's the vetting, right, or the lack thereof.
Right.
And the fact that foreign students in general typically pay full tuition, whereas American students do not often pay, or often do not pay full tuition. They might be getting financial aid, they might be getting scholarships and grants and so forth. But the foreign students come in and they pay full freight for the tuition as well as housing, you know,
right.
Dorms.
Right.
Yeah, which works out well for the universities. I'd like to, when we come back, talk to us about this national, you know, thing of jihad, since we're kind of dumb about all this Ramadan and what all these things mean sometimes. And I know we've done shows with you guys but I think when most people hear that, they think, oh, it's some, you know, religious thing and doesn't have anything to do with me. And why should that be concerning for people? And you guys would likely have some insight into that. So we would like to have that when we come back. So we're going to continue with a little St. Paddy's Day break here at We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Caught him sleeping.
Oh.
Oh, my name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band. Although a few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, oh, we play the march from Saul.
Well, the drums go banging, the cymbals clanging, the horns they blaze away.
McCarty pumps the Alvasu while I the pipes do play.
And the Hennessy, Tennessee tootles, the flute and the music is something grand.
A credit to all Ireland is McNamara's band.
Smiling, sure 'tis like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world
bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal.
You know what that song teaches you, doesn't it? The Irish are much better friends than they are enemies.
Ah, okay.
Because when the Irish eyes are not smiling, all bets are off. Because we play hard on both directions.
Is that when you get a shellacking?
Mm-hmm. That's when the shillelagh comes out. Not okay. The fun kind either. So speaking of which, the Ramadan thing. Why should we be concerned about that, or why is that a red, well, I don't know, can we say red flag? They're a green flag, aren't they?
Well, Ramadan is the annual month of the year during which faithful Muslims are to observe fasting and prayer. That's how it's advertised anyway. In fact, over the centuries, and there have been many, Ramadan is more often an occasion for jihad attacks. Of course, as we know from books of Islamic doctrine and law, jihad is defined as warfare against non-Muslims. So that's not so good. And we this year began the observance of Ramadan at sundown on March 10, and it'll go for a full month until sundown on April 10. So we're well into it now. We have heard Islamic leaders, imams, Hamas leadership, the clerical leadership of Al-Azhar in Cairo, Egypt, all over the world, and including right here in mosques in the United States, and we know this because some of those sermons that are given there are captured and talked about in outlets like MEMRI, Middle East Media Research Institute, MEMRI, very good website, where they report on things like this. So we know that the call has already gone out. Since before the beginning of Ramadan this year, the call has gone out to use the month as a month of jihad, a month of attacks against the non-Muslim, in particular this year, of course, because of the ongoing Israeli operations in Gaza.
Lovely.
And then you pair that all, the calls inside America, inside mosques in America, with everything else going on in the wider world, pair that with what we were just talking about, our wide-open southern border, and, well, we shall see.
Yeah, because you got to wonder, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Unfortunately, probably so.
What kind of information would we get from the intel community if we were looking at things like that? Would it all just be really silent, or would they?
No, not at all. Maybe even surprisingly, over the last at least few months, maybe back into last year, we have had senior members of the intelligence community, like FBI Director Christopher Wray, appearing before, for example, Senate hearings on the Hill. And he's been remarkably open about warning. In his words, the lights are all blinking red. They have never seen a threat situation in America like this since 9/11, or since before 9/11. This is what he has said openly in open Senate hearings. And then we had a letter this past January, that's January 2024, from a bunch of retired former senior FBI agents who wrote this letter. There must have been 10 or 12 of them as signatories. And they sent the letter to senior leadership of Congress, both House and Senate, in January. And in the letter, they, too, warned of a threat situation inside the United States. They don't necessarily mention Ramadan or jihad. I don't know if they know what that is. But they do mention that the warning indicators and warnings that they're seeing have them all alarmed. It's been very open, very public.
So you're the rank and file, unsuspecting public. What's your job?
Well, first, to be aware that this situation is developing around the country, and that we have been warned repeatedly and warned publicly, and to make plans with your own family for how to communicate with each other, how to stay in touch with each other. How to be aware of your surroundings at all times. How to have alternate means of communication if, I don't know, the cell phones don't work or something. So that's at the family local level, just basic, ordinary situational awareness. But also at the local level, but for local law enforcement, I would say, and Lyle can talk some more about this for sure, would be the local population, the local civilian population, being in touch with, listening to, and communicating with your local sheriff's departments. The sheriff's departments, sheriff, of course, being the highest law enforcement official, the senior-ranking law enforcement official in any county in America, elected by the people, not appointed like a police department or police chief or something by the, city council or something, the mayor, but rather elected by the people. So there's a more direct connection there. But to be communicating with the sheriff's departments at this point in time and offering, you know, whatever assistance they might. But Lyle, you've probably got some insights into that sort of level of communication.
Well, thanks, Claire. For the last hour, I always love listening to Claire. We go back quite a few years, don't we, Claire?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
I don't even know how many, 12, 13, 14. And we've presented on various platforms together, and I always listen and take notes as fast as I can with Claire because she is a subject matter specialist. And so all that she has shared thus far, I hope people will take this tape that you guys provide me, the people, and listen to it again. It's rich with information. Let me go in a couple of directions and hopefully tie it all together. All that Claire has talked about in a very elementary form, I've discussed with We the People Radio, if you guys remember, oh my gosh, how many years ago, 10, 12, also with you guys, because we were discussing Agenda 21 at the time. We were discussing the very detailed plan to collapse the United States into the New World Order. Now, at that time, a lot of people thought that was conspiracy theory or reactionary. On a good couple of occasions, Claire, correct me, I had Claire and several other subject matter specialists. John Guandolo is another. We gave presentations to selected audiences of legislators, law enforcement, and other notables because we were forewarning them at the time of the magnitude of what was coming and the multifaceted presentations. I think half of them accepted it. I think half of them began to figure out what do we do, but the other half still thought it was sensational. Claire could have a different observation on that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Keep going.
And so what was presented both on PowerPoint, I remember Claire did it, John did it, Frank Gaffney and others, we presented information because we saw where the federal government was collapsing in the sense that they were not going to stand up and protect the rights of the individuals. Now, that goes totally against their oath of office, but that's what we began to see happening way back when. We then left it up to legislators, sheriffs, as she mentioned, not chiefs of police, and other high-level individuals in the communities to come together and begin to be aware of what was coming down the road so we weren't taken off guard. Well, it's been like pushing pudding uphill. I know Claire has done it consistently. I've been allowed to do it, and others, and it's just been a tough program up till probably the last 2 years, Claire, I would say, because when Biden got in, actually Obama got a third term, in my opinion. When Obama got in with Biden here, and they did away with Trump in 2020, they immediately went to work to open the borders. And this was what Obama wanted to do all along, and that was part of Agenda 2020, which has then been renamed Agenda 2030. But it's the same game plan, is to do away with our northern and southern border and to just basically allow anyone and everyone in. What Claire has shared this past hour is very fruitful. It's really rich with intel in itself. The Chinese that have come into America, I think one of the bigger problems we're having right now, the Chinese are still staying, Claire, correct me because you're the subject matter specialist, but the Chinese, even the young men, the military-age men, and the Iranian young men, they're staying somewhat quiet to a degree. It's the Venezuelan gangs, it's the other gangs from Haiti and other places like that that are causing real havoc in many communities. The killings, the just the heinous crimes that are now beginning to come to the surface. I read an intel report the other day that for the first time in 20 or 22 years in Venezuela, the crime rate is down for the first time in 20 or 22 years. And that's because they've opened their prisons and released all these criminals and these gangs into America.
Shipped them to
going
us.
Going back to something else that Claire talked about. And this is all verifiable stuff. This is not opinion. What Biden has done because of the controversy on the southern border, they began transporting people from Mexico into the middle parts of the United States and other selected communities. They bypassed the southern border. That way they didn't have to deal with the PR problem. But so you're getting gangs, you're getting criminals, you're getting young military age people from China, Iran, maybe North Korea. Claire can speak into that. Into America here, into predetermined locations. There is also I'm going to use the word soft intelligence, meaning I don't have it absolutely verified. Claire can speak into this. But I do have soft intelligence where law enforcement and certain intel groups have uncovered stacks of weapons and explosives already pre-located in and around America. Now, that's highly unusual. Why would you have hidden large amounts of weaponry, ammunition, and explosives? Why would you do that? Well, again, when you take a look at the tracking of these groups coming into America, be it Venezuelan, Chinese, Iranian, et cetera, they are going to regions where these weapons are already stored. So I think instead of pretending that we're conspiracy theorists, I think it would behoove people to begin to take a look at the possibility of this and plan accordingly, which is what Claire just talked about. One more thing before I'll be quiet for a minute or two.
Actually, you'll get five because the news will cut us off. It'll be perfect.
Oh, what? How many minutes do I have?
No, you're good. You got like one.
Oh, well, let me wait until after this.
Oh, so you're just going to leave me hanging with a minute? A whole minute?
No. What I'm going to do.
I mean, I've got an Irish jig coming up, but it's only 30 seconds long.
Yeah, well, I want to give a shout out to Pape Machinery. I got to drive the John Deere tractor, and the pole, I mean, those tractors are phenomenal. You can hit poles and buildings, and they just keep going. I just want to say to John Deere and to Pape Machinery, you really put out a great product.
Well, those poles are all repairable. We don't need to talk about that. Yeah,
and,
that's not a big deal.
And it just showed the integrity of the tractor.
Yeah.
And Pape, you know, still paid me my $2 for giving them. That's more than you guys paid me. I'm still getting $1.25.
I think Robert sent you. Robert sent you two and a quarter, and we've got a book on the way. We're going to send you something to read.
I told Claire before she came on, I said, I'll bet you they made a separate deal with you. You're probably getting $5.
I got to find a theme.
I'll bet you I'm getting $0. $1.25. That's not fair.
That's a long time issue, Claire. I mean, lawyers have been involved. A lot of arguing.
And the Irish Jig said it's news time. We'll be right back with our guests, Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. Listen in to me. We the People Radio on St. Patrick's Day 2024. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
He's a Welshman, but we let him in anyway and forced him
really
to wear a shamrock.
Irish accent.
And his shamrock says God made Irish the number one.
Yeah, I was coerced. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And pretty much a couple times a year, you can go up there and catch Lyle Rapacki driving a John Deere tractor up there.
It always comes back to that.
Yeah. But they've got all sizes of John Deere tractors, big, small, in between, and they got them in stock and ready to go. You can get your tractor worked on. You can get implements, mowers. They handle a full line of electric mowers now for California, and go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, or give them a call 530-226-9226, or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
It's funny how that works out.
Yeah.
I live in California, everything has to be electric, but don't charge it because the grid's got having some brownouts.
Yeah, don't.
we're gonna change our we're gonna secede from the United States and just call ourselves Absurdistan.
Absurdistan.
We're just gonna fit in, try to be one of the stands. We'll be Absurdistan.
That's right.
Lord, just want to point out I live here now, but I was not born here. Bill was, though.
Let me say on the Pape, since I'm a noted unofficial representative of Pape Machinery, when I got on that tractor, it had more buttons and things than I knew what to do, which, you know, that's a problem right there because I'm not technologically good. So there was a problem. But I hit some buttons and the thing started and I started going. But what was really impressive was the extension cord on that thing because it's all electric. And so it goes, I don't know, when I hit the pole, well, actually I didn't hit it. The pole was in the way. So
it was a pole there anyway. I mean, how silly.
Well, and I backed up over another. I don't want to get into too much of this right now, but the tractor didn't stop.
No,
I just want to say the
tractor operated as designed. So
it did, and the 1,500 yard extension cord handled the frustrations of the driver very well. So I just want to say that.
Yeah, it's a little tricky to operate retract the cord button, but you know, it's you get used to it.
Is that what that button is? I never knew what that button was. So I guess next week when I'm over there at Pape at Shasta Lake, I'll now know what that button is. See, yeah. I'm learning this.
You're
stuff.
Learning.
Okay,
that's well, right. That's right.
Yeah.
The home office is scheduling their visit right now. Full supervision on this. This cascading disaster.
Yeah, my.
I'm sure I'll be getting a phone call from Pape.
That's all right. Not before I get one from my safety manager wanting to know what the heck's going on over there. But that's all right. I'll cover for you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Hey,
let me. I want to go back to Claire.
Let's segue into some more despair. take it down a notch. Get us to the sadness, Lyle.
Well, that'll be an extra 25 cents.
Oh, damn it.
You can track.
I know.
Yeah.
That makes it up to $1.50 for me to do the show. Claire is making some extremely valuable points. And again, I just want to say that please, people who are listening to this, this is Claire, if anybody, oh my gosh, Claire is not a conspiracy theorist. She is not a sensational individual. I've known her a long time, and she dots her I's and crosses her T's. And if she's not certain of something, she won't discuss it. And when she does bring out that, and I'll send stuff to her and go, would you please look? In fact, I did the other day, if you remember, Claire. I sent something to her that I thought was a little sensational. Let me just share briefly without the source. This is a national source. He has a website, I think a podcast or a show and stuff like that. And he put out that 100,000 American troops were being prepared to be moved to the Gaza Strip to fight and stop Israel from attacking Hamas and all this stuff. And I really questioned it, but I sent it to people like Claire who are really knowledgeable. And, you know, within hours, I got back from five different professionals, almost verbatim, the same thing. This is sensational and nonsense. Then a couple of them did go into explanations as to why we don't even have 100,000 troops to send, which was more than I was looking for. But going back to Claire, I mean, she doesn't say things that are sensational or conspiratorial. And that's important because over the years that we've made presentations on Agenda 2021, Agenda 23, all the names they keep changing, it's basically the same thing, which is to collapse the United States into the global community. The different formats by them trying to do that, Claire is speaking into, and they're not sensational, they're not conspiratorial, theatrical, they're very valid points. Now, let me just share, just last week, and I'd have to look it up, and I apologize to you all and your readers, but I think it was Thursday of last week, could have been Friday, the Coast Guard off of Florida stopped a Haitian boat because it has been known now, it's been publicized in conventional propaganda platforms that used to be the media, that the Haitians were allowed to bring their boats into Florida and offload and come in that way. And Ron DeSantis has said, hell no, you're not doing that. The Coast Guard is parked, I don't know if you can park a boat, but park a boat right off the coast. And it intercepted a Haitian ship. And there were some illegals on that trying to get in. But what the media reported, and I have to other means, is that they uncovered tremendous caches of armor, of weaponry and munitions and explosives. And that's in conventional media platforms. So when we're talking about what I was talking about, that you've got Chinese, like Claire said, you've got the jungle tigers from China, these young men that are absolutely trained and dangerous. You've got people from Venezuela gangs, all of this. They're coming in and have already come into America for the purposes of bringing destruction to America from within, creating conflict and crises. I think through soft intelligence, and Claire can speak into the terminology of soft, it's soft because while we do have some confirmations, we don't have the absolute confirmation necessary to call it confirmed intelligence. How's that, Claire? Okay.
Sounds good. Well, okay. Not good, but yeah.
Well, good point. But we have very soft intelligence bordering on becoming confirmed beyond a doubt that come September, October, maybe August, September, October, this year coming up, there will be tremendous disruptions in 16 cities across the nation. I know Mike Flynn has talked about this, and he's going to be on my show coming up in the next week or so. Tom Holman has talked about it. He was on my show last week, and other notables. This is all well planned to bring disruption to the electoral process and possibly even up to the point of creating a national crisis, a constitutional crisis, which under our current constitution, if that is declared, elections are suspended at the federal level, not at the local or county level, but at the federal level. They're suspended until the crisis is passed or is under control. And what we're receiving is slowly confirming reports that there are planned disruptions and civil unrest for a number of communities. I'm here in Arizona, and one of the communities, if you'll allow me, a community, is Maricopa County. Actually, that means Phoenix, Scottsdale, Tempe. There's several cities in Maricopa County. But Maricopa County is one of the 16 areas that's been designated, Pima County in southern Arizona, the Tucson area is another. And then we have other communities in other states. This is all well orchestrated. Now, will it be interfered in some way, or will there be interdiction? I don't know yet, but I'm going to tell you that the bad guys, and Claire's talked about some of the bad guys, Todd Benzman, who we both met years ago in Texas when we were down there. Claire, you remember we gave briefings to elected officials and several others. And we met Todd down there, and he has done a superb job in reporting on the border. He's a subject matter specialist. And the level of hatred, the level of people coming across who want to destroy this country is almost unspeakable. It's that high. And we are not prepared for this. And I think it's going to, and Claire made a phenomenal point on this, it's going to come down to the local communities to protect the local communities, because I don't see the federal government stepping in. Now, one more thing, and I'll turn it over to Claire. Tom Holman is coming to Prescott. That's where I live, which is about an hour north of Phoenix. Director Holman is coming to Prescott on April 18th, and he's making a major presentation dealing with Border 911. Border 911 is a program that he just began about a month ago, and it was on my program that he announced it. Go to ArizonaToday.com, ArizonaTheNumber2Day.com, and you'll see the two things. One, the full hour program with Representative Mark Fincham and Tom Holman, but then you'll see a 15-minute presentation on Border 911, and all that was discussed in that 13 or 14 minutes was the new program called Border 911. And President Trump's endorsed Border 911. It's been launched, and now Director Holman is going across the country explaining Border 911 and gathering support and building a network for Border 911. And this is a response to the crises that has already come across our border. We don't really have a border anymore, and those that are still coming into America. They're flooding into America. So Border 911 is an incredible program that Director Holman has put together along with other notables, and it's gearing towards sheriffs because, as Claire also mentioned correctly, the sheriff is the highest-ranking constitutional law enforcement officer in a county, not one foot over the county line, but in that county. That sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer and outranks in that county a governor, even the president of the United States, unless there's a national declared emergency. So getting with your sheriffs, supporting them, having your local communities begin to become aware and respond to what's taking place is really going to be an approach. One last thing, if I might. In Arizona, again, in a community called Springerville, it's a small community in northeastern Arizona, Katie Hobbs, who's the illegitimate governor of Arizona. She got in through election fraud. That's another show. But she tried to unload 13 or 1,500 illegals in Springerville. It's a small rural community in northern Arizona, and she wanted to take over the dome. There's a dome there that they use for sports, and she wanted to turn that into a residential area for these 1,300 illegals. She flew them from Lakeville in the southern border of Arizona into, that was her plan, into Springerville. The citizens of Springerville stood up, and there was only 2,500 citizens or so, and they came out in mass. They came out armed, and they came out in mass, and they said, hell no, you are not going to bring these people in here. And they put up a heck of a fight, and they had to turn away bringing those 1,500 illegals in there. What I'm sharing with you is that rural communities are beginning to wake up and say, hell no, we are not going to allow this taking over. And that's, and Claire mentioned it with the sheriffs. I would echo that, and I would suggest that if people are listening, I would start getting the old neighborhood teams together, community teams, county teams together. Here again in northern Arizona, that's already happened. There are multiple, I'm going to call them neighborhood watches. I'm just going to call them that, but they're neighborhood watches, but even on a larger measure. County watches, city watches, things like that. The citizens of America are beginning to wake up, much similar to our forefathers, the colonists of the day. And so what Claire is describing is alarming. It's very sobering. And I'm sure if we had another show, she could even bring forward more information.
Claire, I think, we got to take a break. But when we come back, I'd like to expand a little bit on what Lyle was talking about as far as the mix of people that are coming across the border now. I'd like to know if you've seen that change in the beginning it was people coming here to, forge a better life and try to get themselves out of poverty. And as this thing has opened up, we've seen huge drug problems, criminals. But I want to know if you've seen a change in that mix of people coming across as far as immigrants versus criminals and drug dealers and terrorists and that sort of thing. So,
or is that all just happening to the American public and we're all just a bunch of hysterical?
Yeah, we're all just being more aware of it, or has it always been this bad?
We'll be right back on that chipper note. We're going to play some good old Irish music today, because it's St. Paddy's Day. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Shake hands with all the neighbors and kiss the callings all. You're as welcome as the flowers in May to dear old Donegal. Me a party when I came back, and they came from near and far, and the road was lined for near a mile with Irish jobbing cars, and the whiskey flowed like buttermilk to fill our hearts with joy, and the piper played an Irish reel to greet the Yankee boy.
What will we do with the drunken sailor? What will we do with the drunken sailor? What will we do with the drunken sailor early in the morning? Way hey, up she rises. Way hey, up she rises. Way
with a rusty razor, shave his belly with a rusty razor, shave his belly with a rusty razor early in the morning.
Way, just a little hey, Irish fun on the high seas. Shave his belly with a rusty razor. Way, hey, that's why we drink so much. That's got to be it.
I don't know. I was just telling Lyle, there are a number of really great Irish pubs in and around Washington, D.C. Of course, I live in Northern Virginia. We used to go to them all the time, and loved the Irish music. Local groups, performing there.
See, yeah, just that's how we saved civilization.
Yeah, no matter where you go, you'll
they
find
wrote
an
a book
Irish
about
pub.
It. Yeah. How the Irish saved Christianity, because we had all
absolutely
the
did.
We had all the
during
records,
the
and we were too terrifying. Nobody went up there to steal them from us. They were like, shit, those
no,
guys are nutty.
No, it was the monks in the monastery
yes, they
who were keeping alive literacy And the ancient Greek, especially Greek, maybe Roman, but especially Greek,
translations,
you know, philosophy, yeah. and that is all that got Western civilization through the Dark Ages.
Yep. And it's a really good book, but don't listen to it on audio because the author is really smart, wrote a great book, but he's terrible at reading it. Oh, my God. You'll crash your car. I tried to listen to it while I was driving. Yeah. It's a little dry. But really, really well done. But there's a reason for all these things, right? So when you look at the history of all these different countries, we've got our own. And, you know, I like to fight, too. So, but... turned out we did a show with my dad a few years back, and we were always told that my grandfather was born in New York, and then, well, it kind of turned out that actually he was on a ship's manifest at 3, landing in New York.
That's close enough.
So my grandfather was apparently born when he was 3. And, so he never knew that, so apparently my grandfather was an illegal alien his whole life, had no clue. Not a hint. Hugh Ryan. So there you go.
So, Claire, what do you think?
But here you are, and that's the good part.
I know. And the rest of us, you know, well, we did our best.
Do you think the mix of people coming across the border has changed recently, or has it always been? Okay.
No, very definitely it has changed. And I'll begin with geographically speaking. So, typically, in decades past, you would have many Mexicans crossing over, then maybe Central Americans, and some South Americans. You know, typically Latinos, maybe some from the Caribbean as well. But more recently now, as the border's been opened, I mean, wide open since the Biden administration came into office, you've got people, we've heard, reports out of CBP, they're coming from over more than 160, that's 60 countries around the world. Okay? There were only about 194 countries in the entire world, or at least in the United Nations, and more than 160 of those are represented in the flood of illegal aliens pouring across our border. And so a disproportionate number of those, as we've spoken about, are young military-aged men. They're not coming with their families. They're not. If you're fleeing, from famine, war, natural disaster, earthquake, whatever it might be, you're going to come with your wife and your children.
Yeah, you're not going to leave your family
behind.
That's
what's happening.
Yeah.
They're coming alone. The men are coming alone. And again, from all over the world, including many trouble spots, like from the Middle East. We've mentioned China. Most recently now, of course, with the chaos unfolding in Haiti, just south of Cuba, south of Florida, I think Lyle just mentioned, you know, the Coast Guard has already intercepted at least one boat that was carrying about 25 illegals from Haiti, along with drugs and weapons in that boat. And Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, of course, has pledged to defend Florida's coastline from illegal alien, crashing our border. We'll turn them right back around and send them home. I'm sorry that the situation in Haiti is such a mess. It's a disaster. What happened is that criminal gangs in the last couple of weeks broke open a number of prisons holding the worst of the worst of the criminals of Haiti, broke them open, released something like over 4,000 worst of the worst criminals onto the streets of Haiti. The president is out of the country. The prime minister has resigned. He's in Puerto Rico. There's no government. Literally, there's no government in Haiti right now. As you might know, Haiti shares the island of Hispaniola together with the Dominican Republic. I'm sure that border's tightly closed. They are in complete, utter, total free fall. We're trying to get Americans out. Flights, the airport's closed, so I don't know exactly where they're landing. Maybe by sea they're getting, I don't know. But State Department is trying to get our people out. Many other Americans are there. A lot of charitable organizations are represented in Haiti. And many of those missionary and other kinds of charitable workers are there, Americans, and they're stuck. They can't get out. And you've got the gangs now roaming the streets. Absolute chaos, dead and decaying bodies all over the streets. Literally, we've seen the photos of those. A guy who heads up the criminal gang goes by the nickname Barbecue.
Oh, yeah,
is
I saw that.
Murdering his enemies and then literally barbecuing them and eating them. Yes, cannibalism is going on all over Haiti. So you want to talk about the newest iteration of the flood, you know, heading for our borders. It's going to be Haitians. We should have mentioned one more thing.
That is, what could you add to that?
Year or 2 years ago, I don't know, 22 or 23, the Biden administration, I think it was by executive order, that's how they do most things, decreed that a group of countries, including Haiti, I think Venezuela, Nicaragua, perhaps one other that I might be forgetting, I think there were four, would get special dispensation up to, you're sitting down, up to 30,000 per month free flow entry into the United States, no background checks, no visas, no not.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Correct.
Huh. What could
I get a kick out of what Craig just said. Out of all the Haitians coming in, but that's just, we're just picking on Haiti for this second, but Venezuelans and all the rest, a federal judge just ordered Friday that it's not illegal or unconstitutional it's illegal and unconstitutional to forbid illegals from getting firearms. I've got that report here. So the illegals can get firearms. Americans can't, but illegals can.
What's the criteria look like? I mean, is it just you're not allowed to ask if they're citizens? Wait, but we have to prove all sorts of stuff if we get...
The kind of form that Hunter Biden filled out, you know, one of those forms. And you just put on the form anything you like.
Oh, Claire.
And, you know, voila.
Very nice, Claire.
Well played.
Yeah, well done. She's right. No, Claire's right, but that's just well played. Claire is not a comedic. At least I've never known. She's very subtle. So that was very nice.
That's the best comedy, though. It's comedy for smart people, and the ones who don't laugh, well, we all know they're just not smart. So, super simple.
So these flights that you were talking about,
the mix it has changed, and the difference is that it's not just from the Western Hemisphere as mostly kind of before, but it's from all over the world, including all the worst trouble spots that you could think of.
Right. Right. So these flights that Lau, you were talking about, where they're just putting people on planes and flying them into the middle of the country and dropping them off, how does that exactly work when a plane comes in from out of the country? Anybody else, you got to go through customs, you got to declare whatever you have and blah blah blah. These folks come in undocumented and they just flag them through? Is that what's happening?
Pretty much. That's what's taking place. And that came about because of all the bad publicity on the borders. When Texas went ahead and closed their border on their own, we all know what took place, the uproar, the threats, the legalities and all of that. And yet, notice it hasn't stopped. And that's because two reasons, in my opinion. One, under the 10th Amendment, of our Constitution, each state has the right to protect its sovereignty from any assault. Secondly, Texas is a republic. People forget that. When it joined the Union, it never surrendered its republic status. And so that has certain rights as a republic. It's the only state that we could argue is a republic within the Republic of the United States. So those two things have come into play, and it's thrown the Biden administration off guard here. They don't know how to deal with it. So even though there's a lot of talk, the 26 other states, the governors have now sent National Guard troops to Texas to help the National Guard of Texas. But I will also say, because Texas is a republic, it has its own Republic Guard, State Guard, and that's different than the National Guard. And Texas is the only state allowed to do that. It goes back to its inception into the United States. It never surrendered its republic status. Now, what that has done is it has created quite an uproar, bad publicity, and the Obama-Biden people don't want that. It's an election year. They've got their own set of problems with Biden and Kamala Harris. They don't know what to do. And so by closing down the border, what has happened is they've redirected the illegals into Arizona and Southern California. Arizona is now ground zero. This is not sensational making it up. That's one of the reasons Director Holman's coming here to further announce the opening of Border 911, because Arizona is very much in play, not only from an electoral political process standpoint, but from a ground zero illegal standpoint. Because of the uproar along the 2,500 miles southern, well, it used to be the southern border of the United States, what the Biden people began to do is they began to fly the illegals in and land in Oklahoma, for instance, Kansas, and other sectors, and release these people into those regions. This bypassed all of the border controversy. It's been going on for a couple of months, and yet you've heard very little about it. What we've heard is all the border problem in Texas and all the uproar. You have not heard much at all about the flights coming in and landing in the middle of America. Because the federal... Go ahead.
I do mean to interrupt there, but, you know, I think it was our buddy, Todd Bensman, who is a senior fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies, by the way, who broke this story.
Yes.
About the secret theretofore secret flights that the Biden administration was using to fly illegals directly into the United States. Now, understand, every airport is a port of entry in the United States too, but they were trying, just as Lyle was saying, they were trying to reduce the optics, let's say, of the hordes coming across the southern border ever since they instituted the use of the cell phone app called CBP-1, O-N-E, that allowed illegals to make an appointment on their cell phones, which are, by the way, they're handed out by the NGOs at our taxpayer dollar spent. And those appointments are with asylum hearing judges in the United States, but because the backup is so long, it could be 8 or 10, or I don't even maybe know, more years before they actually have that appointment. But then, as they come across, now they'll come through the port of entry, flash their little cell phone app, and the Border Patrol has to let them in.
That's correct.
And then they're here. And they're never going to show up for their hearing. We know that over 90% of those who ever do show up, and they know it too, poor hearing, are refused asylum status. And they are supposed to be, or they never are, but they're supposed to be deported. And that's why the flights apparently began to diminish, you know, the numbers, the visible numbers of people now flooding through ports of entry with their little CBP-1 apps on their cell phones. If they could take the pressure off of the optics at those ports of entry and then try to secretly fly people into the United States, I guess the Biden administration thought that would help the optics. But that's the genesis of that little operation there.
Mm. Oh, that's very, this is going to sound loopy in a way, Claire and I, but that's very profound. Claire's exactly right. This was all pre-scheduled, pre-planned, because optically it didn't look good. And what can we do to correct this, to give everybody pause to go, okay, We're slowing down. We're not getting the numbers into America that all the media and everybody's reporting, especially all the MAGA people are reporting on. It's a lie. It's a perception that they they banked on, and it's worked to a point. And Claire again is right. Todd, our mutual acquaintance and good acquaintance, Todd Benzman in Texas, reported on this. I think it was just a couple of months ago, Claire. I may be wrong, but
I think you're right about that. Not even that long.
No, he just broke it, and it created quite a flurry. That was like hell. That was brand new news. I mean, I'm being redundant on purpose. That was like that stirred everybody. And they are flying into airports that are already predetermined, already promised to not have any hassle. And the other thing is, Claire brought this up too, which I sit back and listen to Claire. You don't need me on here except for the Pape advertisement. I'll do the advertisement to listen to Claire. But she's profoundly right on. There are judges that are bought and paid for. And they were appointed by Obama, and this is not conspiratorial, people. You're going to hear more about this coming up in the next couple of months, I promise you, or I'll buy the coffee and bagel.
You're going to hear more next week because we have them as our hostages next week. Spoiler alert!
The point is that the judges are backed up by 8 to 10 years. It's not that they're corrupt. It's that the backlog is so enormous that nobody even gets to their courtroom before 8 or 10 years. And even then, the stats are that over 90% are rejected. But because there's no ICE functioning, as Tom Homan will tell you guys in Arizona next week, 2 weeks or whatever, because there is no functioning ICE, not their fault, they want
correct.
To function. They very badly want to function, but they're forbidden to do their jobs.
That's correct.
Because that's not happening, detain and deport. Those who are, you know, waved through the ports of entry with their little CBP-1 app on their cell phone, they're going to have to be hunted down and under a hopefully Trump and Trump administration with a Tom Homan at DHS in some capacity, they're going to have to be hunted down, detained, and deported on a massive scale.
Well, what's the number of immigrants that are actually being seen in court and being deported? You say 90% of them are rejected. How many are we capable of seeing a month and actually processing?
I don't know that number, but to the best of my knowledge, nobody's being deported these days.
Correct.
Or practically nobody. I should
really?
Say virtually nobody.
Yeah, because we hear it's 5 years before they see a judge. Well, how many people are seeing a judge?
It's more than that. 8 to 10 or more.
Okay, so how many people are actually seeing judges today? I mean, I know they're backlogged.
Yeah, no, I don't know that number.
Huh.
Maybe CIS would have a better set of data on that.
Yeah, because you don't hear about that. I mean, you hear about this huge backlog, but you don't hear about how many people are actually being processed and either allowed to stay or deported.
I would check CIS, that's Todd Benzman's think tank, Center for Immigration Studies, and or try CBP and DHS, but, you know, buena suerte there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She threw us in a little buenos
nice,
day.
Wow. She's become a little bit more comedic in her old age.
I'm trying.
Yeah, you are.
This is so grim otherwise.
I know. It's hanging out with those chuckleheads on St. Patty's Day. It's messing everybody up.
I've never heard Claire in, what, 12 years or 14? I've never heard her. Issue such little snide little comments. And little, I've never heard
you
that.
Know, we can have a tendency to green light that
I'll
in our.
Here.
It's like Peter Pry, you know, when Dr. Pry used to come on, he was all serious at the beginning, and then he kind of got sillier and sillier as we went, and I thought, we have had a really.
We've ruined it.
We've had a really, really. We played beer,
right.
we played beer for our beer for your horses, and he turned into a silly guy. All right, one last quick break here before the top of the hour, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
And come tell me, Sean O'Farrell, tell me why you hurry so. Hush a boogle, hush and listen, and his cheeks were all aglow. I bear orders from the captain, get
you ready, quick and soon. For the pipes must be together at the rising of the moon. At the rising of the moon. At the rising of the moon. For the pipes must be together at the rising of the moon. I've been a wild rover for many the years. I've spent all me money on whiskey and beer. Let's sing this song. But now I'm returning with golden great store. And I never will play the wild rover no more. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I play.
I tell you what.
Oh, you got best of all the classics.
I know.
Yeah.
If that doesn't make you just want to go, you know, have a Guinness. You're dead inside.
Well, I got to tell you, while you guys are doing this stuff and Claire's pontificating about all this brilliant stuff that she knows, I'm sitting here enjoying my Maker's Mark.
I knew it.
Cigar, so.
Yeah.
So let Claire handle the rest of the show. I'm fine.
Yeah, you just take some notes, and then next week when we're not going to do the same thing again, but when we do some more stuff, then
we're coming back on it. Wait a minute, does that mean I get an extra $1.25
yep.
this month? You guys?
You'll have the book by then. Even loser Aaron will make it to the post office and get the dang book in the mail. Although all I ever get these days are complaints about the postal service, so I guess I can't guarantee it's going to get there.
I think I need a promotion.
You do. You got to get in the loop, Claire. Got to get you on the gravy train.
Why is she getting the gravy train? I brought her on the show as executive director. I brought her on.
Because you're already the $1.25 and I'm not.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's all I needed.
He used to be $1.80. I really like it. He's going down. His Bidenflation is kicking in. It's not pretty, but it's real. Oh,
wow.
My God.
The people now listening to us in Libya, they're going, what is this all about? I mean,
yeah. They're like, I wish we had guys like this in Libya. It'd be a lot more fun.
Claire, they have people from all over the world listening. What was that one country?
That's fantastic.
No, they do. What was that one country you guys that called in or wrote in and they liked our gibberish?
Oh yeah. Remember? Well, the Ukrainians used to listen all the time.
Ukrainians, that's it.
Yeah, of the 45% of the people that listen to the show outside the contiguous.
They wrote in.
Yeah.
This was a couple of years ago, they wrote in to Aaron Hill, and they said something about, well, see, that's not fair that Dr. Lyle's not getting the $1.25.
they specifically said that. And we can verify because our engineer now is from Ukraine, so they sent her over here to make sure you got your money.
I know, but they did.
That's,
Claire.
By the way, another one of my focuses, or foci, or whatever it is Ukraine. If I can plug a Facebook site, go look at Conservatives for Ukraine. Conservatives numeral for Ukraine on Facebook.
Oh. Okay. Will do.
For all the listeners out there in Kiev and Odessa and Mariupol.
Well, we will add that, and I'm sure we'll get to maybe chat about that a little bit next week, too. So we've got, like, 8-ish minutes or so. And
well, Claire can fill up 10 of those 8. No, that was a compliment.
That's with the goofing off.
I'll take it back.
But I'm like, yeah, so I know there's a bunch of stuff we didn't cover today, but we do have next week, so I don't know how you want to, if you want to just spoiler alert them for next week or how you want to do it. Go right ahead. Uh-oh, I wrecked the show.
Another spy one. Claire, what do you want? Personally, I think we need to follow up with what... I'm being serious for 30 seconds.
What?
I think we need to follow up with what Claire has laid down, because there's a lot of information, what she's put forward and in her report. And I think it could be further massaged. I'll look into some of the latest stuff that Claire's also mentioned regarding the border and some of the struggles that we're already having. We're already having we're having problems already. It's not being reported. To Claire's point, one time off air, she said, we're not seeing some of this in reports and in media. No, we're not. For instance, in certain rural areas, smaller counties, let's say, where there's more land, not developments, they're trying to set up these camps. Here in northern Arizona, Hobbs is trying to do just that, and the citizens are beginning to arm up and fight back. The sheriff is fully informed and fully supportive of the citizenry, David Rhodes. But this is what's happening under the radar, and Claire kind of set it up that way, and I kind of followed in a little bit. But I think if she could have the opportunity to massage what she was presenting even more, I think there's more information, hard intel, if you will allow me, that she can present, and then I'll see what I can do to.
Yeah, there's very definitely a lot of information going on. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then anyway.
Good point, good point.
But if listeners want to get a head start on some of this, have a look at the website, theunitedwest.com or .org, either one, theunitedwest.com. And we've got a tab there at the top of the homepage. It's called Defend the Border. And there you'll find all kinds of information, some of it that we have authored, some that we've posted from others like Todd Bensman. And you'll find a documentary that we put together about a year and a half ago called Death County and the River of Broken Dreams, featuring Tom Holman. Take a look at that. As well as a number of other shorter, smaller videos.
I really like him a lot. He's a very thoughtful guy with a tremendous amount of information, and I think we ignore him at our peril.
Oh, we're just all hoping he'll be back, hoping and expecting that he'll be back. No-nonsense guy, but heart of gold, absolute heart of gold.
I could share, this is not a violation or anything, I've had private meetings with him where there's no cameras, no films, no reporters, no micro, nothing. It's just in the room. And he's the same as what you see on air. He's very sincere. He's not theatrical. Yeah. He tears up. If you go to my Arizona Today, ArizonaToday.com show, you'll see the 15-minute Border 9-1, and you'll see him tear up. That is not a show, ladies and gentlemen. That is not a game. He is really taken by the horrendousness that's taken place on the border, and it really touches his heart. He's for real.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll see this absolutely while I'm talking about in that film I'm pointing you to, Death County and the River of Broken Dreams, where he recounts his own experiences with. Not just deaths of Americans that are now happening all over the country because of the illegal criminals, but deaths of the people, the illegals themselves, the women, the children being trafficked, being locked in the back of trailer trucks, locked in there and dying. Go look at that website and look at that movie.
I'm tagging all of this. I'm adding just so people are maybe scrambling a little bit. I'm adding all of these websites that you're giving me to the page for today, March 17th, 2024. And I am also adding the video. I'll put the Death County and the River of Broken Dreams.
You know what? One of the things we haven't talked about, we probably don't have time now, but I just thought I'd mention it. I read an article, it's been a couple of weeks ago now, about how this influx of illegals into the country is actually changing the count. A lot of these states are allowing them to vote, so they're actually going to appoint more congressional representatives because of the increase in population in a lot of these areas, which is going to change the face of our
Congress. It already
has. Yeah.
Apportionment. That's part of the whole plan. That's part of it.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people have thought about that.
Changing of the demographics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's a, exactly. that's a real issue. And that's where I think things start to come together for them is they get the people in, they change the law. All of a sudden you have all these extra millions of people that are allowed to vote. Well, all of a sudden you have to hire more congressmen.
What people don't know, perhaps many don't know, is that for the purposes of the census count that then determines apportionment of representatives for that county, that state.
Correct.
Everybody gets counted, whether they're citizens or not. And the Donald Trump initiative of a couple of years ago to try to include the question on the census form, are you a U.S. citizen, was defeated. And so anybody who is in that county, in that, you know, area of being counted, doesn't matter if you're legal, illegal, doesn't matter what, you get counted, and that determines apportionment, numbers of representatives.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
That's the root of it right there.
The good news is we do our census every 10 years, and maybe before the next one we could say, oh, I don't know, implement E-Verify and have a mass self-deportation. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, there won't be any self-deportation. I think that's going to be...
You implement E-Verify, you'll have a huge one.
Yeah, if they can't get a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time.
What?
Yeah.
How does that keep happening?
I don't know.
Oh, God, she probably wants to know what song we want to play.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. It was a great show, and we're going to have you back next
week. Thanks
for
having us.
And I think Aaron's got...
For issues?
Yeah. It goes without saying.
Hey, look, I was sick. Oh, good grief. But, no, we're really looking forward to it. We will have a great time next week, too, with tons of terrific information. Meanwhile, we'll have time to watch the video. You have been listening to We the People. We've been speaking with Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got minds to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Until we close our eyes for good.